Good morning and welcome back to Nach Yomi. Today we are going to be learning the 23rd perek of Sefer Yirmiyahu, perek Chaf Gimel. This perek is a little complicated to learn. The general theme of the perek seems to be talking about the bad leaders, bad prophets, it seems to be, that is the primary focus of this, and Yirmiyahu is attacking all of them. And this makes sense because if you think about it, in the general life of Yirmiyahu, he lives through kings, people, and prophets. And we've seen that he's had bones to pick with all of them, whether it be the kings at certain points, or some of the kings in some ways, or whether it be the people who persecute him. But ultimately, the general, besides the people who persecute him, Yirmiyahu actually is less blameful of the people than he is of the actual prophets, which is worthwhile thinking about what that means. Because what we're ultimately seeing now is that Yirmiyahu is going to be blaming, the full blame is actually the antagonists in his life, and his perspective on life seem to be the false Nevi'im. And this is this perek. So we're going to start off at the beginning. This first section of the perek, which runs for the first 8 psukim essentially, is a little bit ambiguous. Let's see why. So he starts off by talking about Hoy Ro'im, woe to those shepherds, Ma'abdim, Mefitzim, Es Tzon, Marisi, who are scattering my flocks. And Hashem says, you know what? I'm going to bring bad upon you, you bad shepherds, and I'm going to bring back my flock, which you scattered, which you caused to scatter into these lands, into all the Mikol Aratzos Asher Dachta Asam Shom. You led them to, so to speak, exile, and I'm going to bring them back, and they're going to succeed. And then he goes on to say that in a short time, I'm going to bring up the Tzemach Tzadik, I'm going to establish them, the seed of David, which is going to be the king, and he's going to do justice in the land, and he's going to save Yehuda and bring back Yisrael of Vetach, and he's going to bring all the people back from the lands of the north. This seems to be this section. So he's talking primarily to those bad shepherds, and he's saying that Hashem will rectify their actions upon their demise. What is this referring to? So it's actually, most of the classic Mefarshim say this is referring to the later stage. Remember, we've just come off Perek Chof Beis, where Yirmiyahu has been addressing Yehoyakim, Yehoyachin, the later kings, who are bad, and certainly in the way eyes of Yirmiyahu, who led the people astray, and so therefore, as Rashi says, this is referring to the bad kings of Yehuda. The Malbim says that it might not be referring to the kings, but it might be the bad leaders or Nevi'im during the times of these bad kings. And therefore, when we're talking about this over here, we're talking about how he's essentially saying, well, you did all this bad leadership, so in the future, what's going to end up happening is you're going to see that the nation of Israel is going to be exiled by Babel, by the Babylonians, and you're going to see that in the future, there will be this king who's going to come out, Tzemach, whether it refers to Zerubbabel later on, as some of the Farshim say, or whether it refers to Menachem Mashiach. However, Benjamin now has a different suggestion. He says that it seems from the tone of optimism in Yirmiyahu that this might even be referring to the earlier times of Yoshiyahu HaMelech. And what he's saying is that here, optimistically, he is essentially saying is that there were bad leaders during the times of Yoshiyahu, but Hashem could potentially establish the king, the scion of David, on the throne to bring back the people. Who's bringing back the people? Well, it might be referring to the potential of bringing the two kingdoms together. Remember, after all, so many of the people were exiled by the Assyrians. The northern kingdom of Israel was exiled. So this might be a prophecy of Yirmiyahu in his early days, optimistically saying, well, maybe that can be reversed. Maybe they can all be brought back together. Very fascinating possibility. This would give a completely different perspective than the doomsday kind of perspective of being at the end of his career and the Nevi'im at the end of the of this period of time. Very different ways of reading it, and it really changes the way we look at some of the words in Pesukim. Nonetheless, the Perek has a lot more to say, and the next section he talks about what is so bad about these leaders. Now, it's so interesting, because the sin that he places at their doorstep is not necessarily what was the sin of Avodah Zarah. It is, listen to what he says in Pasuk Yoralev, Ki gam novi v'gam kohen, both the prophet and the priest, these are two types of leaders, choneifu, right? These are flattering or doing chanufa, gam beveisi motzosi ro'asam, I'm finding badness even in my house. And this obviously, if you carry on reading the Pesukim, it sounds like this is a notion of ni'uf as well, which means to say that we're talking about immorality over here. And the Malbim goes on to explain that what Yirmiyahu is saying is, I can't hold the people accountable for a corruptness of moral spirit when the people who are leading them have no morality themselves. And he goes on further to say, the prophets of Shomron, so meaning the prophets of the times of Ahab and later on, you know, the times of Yehu, all these prophets, all these bad people, these bad prophets, what do? They took people to, they said empty things and they made people do Avodah Zarah. But, what I see among the Nevi'im in Yerushalayim, not Avodah Zarah, but I see that there's adultery. I see them following falsehood. I see them strengthening their own mafias and circles. Levilti shavu ish mere'eyu. They're like the evil people of Sodom and Amorah. Very different kind of character problem, flaw over here that Yirmiyahu was describing in these prior leaders. You know, it's interesting. People sometimes say, leaders aren't meant to be popes. I didn't vote for this person for their moral caliber. What Yirmiyahu was saying over here is that part of the leadership qualifications of a Navi, of a Kohen, of a Jewish leader, at least in this capacity, is their moral caliber. And should that be absent, then they're no longer able to function in the capacity that they're supposed to be. Very important to think about these kind of things. Finally, so what's going to happen to these people? So HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, I'm going to feed them poison, I'm going to get rid of them because of the name, the bad name they gave. And Hashem won't return until he's given them completely all the revenge and vengeance that they need. But then he turns to another group of folks. And these are the people who are false dreamers. It's interesting. And he says to them, he questions them, the people are giving out the false messages. These are not people now who are negative, who have negative lives, and therefore not moral upholding character. These are people who seem to be giving off false dreams or false ideas. So he says very powerfully, Hashem says, am I only a God when I'm near and not when I'm distant? You know, like when I'm in shul, when you're in shul, well behaved. You're out of shul, no longer. In the Mikdash, yes. Out of the Mikdash, no. I'm gonna hide. You're gonna hide, and I don't see you. I fill the heavens and the earth. You think there's a spot, there's a bush you can hide behind. You can, you know, you're right to get there. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu explains in very clear language that Malatevin Esabarnu Umashem. You know, what is the straw without the chaff? Now what this refers to is, as the Gemara in Brachos describes, that the way that dreams work are the following. Every dream contains a certain amount of truth. At least the times of Nevuah, maybe not now. Lots of dreams today are physiological. They're just expressions of the gastronomic experiences or the emotional experiences of a day. But in the days where dreams meant a lot more, every dream that had truth in it always had falsehood in it as well. It's impossible that a dream would not have bar in it. So he's saying, these people over here are claiming everything is true that they see. And a lot of it is their own projected images, which is the bar, which is the falseness in the dreams. And he says, "Hello, koy amay devari ka'esh." He says, "Hashem says my words are like fire. Ukapatish yafoytzetzela. It's like a mallet. It will break. Like the hammer will smash open the rock." It's a beautiful metaphor, Hashem saying of how his words are much more powerful than the vehicles of these neviim who are giving them expression. So let's just take a look at this for a second. What does that actually mean? The Gemara is in various places around Shas uses metaphor for different reasons. So, for instance, the Gemara in Tanis and Daf Zayin and others says that it's to describe how Divrei Torah are nimshelu ka'esh because it is only found it's only dialek yechidi. That means to say that it's only establishes itself in an individual. That means to say it's not because of, you know, fashions and lots of people and. It's to be found in Yechidos, in singularity. The Gemara in Chagigah of Zayinim says that this refers to that the Ur Shel Gehinnom isn't Sholet on Talmidei Chachamim. Why? Because they are themselves like fire, and if they're filled with fire, that's what their composition is. Then the Gehinnom won't control them. The Gemara in In Chagiga, sorry, I apologize, in Sanhedrin, Davlamud Aleph says that, Abaye says that the words of Hashem express themselves in so many different ways, which is why you look at the Torah and you keep seeing new ideas, new mefarshim, and new pshatim, because it keeps expanding like the sort of this expanding rock which has been shattered through the mallets and through this fire expansion. Lots of different ways of saying it, and the bottom line really is that Hashem's truth is not going to be eclipsed by the intentions and biases of bad people. That's what Hashem is essentially saying. Finally, Yirmiyahu closes this section. The perek runs till the very end in Pasuk Mem, where he talks about how the prophets are going to be punished. And the Malbim points out that if you read through this section very closely, you will notice that there are actually three categories of falsifiers. There are those who look at the true prophets and they misinterpret their words. And they kind of use them in their style, but use falsehood. Then there are those who don't look at the good prophets. They simply create their own lie afresh in their own style. And then there are the people who talk about false dreams and claim that they saw things in dreams which they didn't really see. And the Malbim points out that the most severe of these three categories is the person who actually tries to look like the truth but changes the details because they're the most dangerous. It sounds like they're saying the right thing. It sounds like they're well-intended. It sounds like they're trying to help you. It sounds like they're trying to give you good political advice as a king, but actually it's way off and it's much more destructive than those who are, you know, real the charlatans and quacks selling all kinds of other things which are further from the truth. And then the Malbim goes on to point out how Yirmiyahu talks about three different types of punishments that are meted out to them. This concludes this perek again. Yirmiyahu talking about the contention he has, not with the people so much, but rather the leaders and their lack of moral caliber and their falsifying information of those who they lead. In the meantime, have a wonderful, meaningful day.